Well, a few weeks ago, God began to speak to me regarding this message tonight. Began to talk to me about a certain thing that I believe God wants to speak to His people tonight. You see, a lot of God's people, many times we struggle. We're always struggling through so many things. Many of God's people fight the good fight of faith and don't exactly know what they're fighting. Not quite sure what they're fighting. And why is it that so many times we go through so many battles in this Christian life? Yeah, I know the devil's out there, but why is it that the Bible says that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world? But the Bible also says that I am a child of the living God, and I am a child of Abraham, and I'm blessed coming and blessed going, and everything I put my hands to, I shall prosper. We read the scriptures over and over and over again, and yet we find ourselves looking at our unsaved loved ones. We're looking at people that are not saved serving God, and they look like they're doing okay. And we're struggling all the time. It's like, hello? Isn't this supposed to be like this wonderful thing? One thing I remember the first 10 years of my salvation was I remember fight after fight after fight after fight, battle after battle after battle after battle. And it seemed at times I just wanted to give up and give in. Yeah, God was moving and I saw victories here and there, people getting healed, people getting saved. All the time there were victories, but it always just seemed like I just kept on fighting all the time. The bottom line was, I was just surviving as a Christian. And I wasn't going where God wanted me to go. So finally, I decided. One day I decided I was going to get through what I'm going through. So tonight's message, I've entitled, Getting Through What You're Going Through. Isn't it time to get through what you've been going through? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's time to get through what you're going through. Amen. Go ahead and open up your Bible with me to the book of Exodus chapter 14. Our text starts with the children of Israel and they're fleeing Pharaoh's kingdom. And here are the children of Israel, just a little bit of history. The children of Israel were held captive by Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had been using them as slaves to build his kingdom. And we all know the story and how God spoke to Moses and in a burning bush and told Moses, go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. So Moses went down to Pharaoh's kingdom and he told Pharaoh, God said to let my people go. Well, Pharaoh didn't think that was a good idea. So Moses went back to God and God says, well, I guess I'm going to have to help him out. So I'll drop a few plagues on him just to wake him up a little. So Moses went back and all these plagues dropped down on Pharaoh. And Pharaoh decided, well, maybe it is a good idea to go ahead and let him go. So Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. And they're heading out and they take off. And they started heading towards the Red Sea. And we know the story. They got right to the edge of the Red Sea and they began to cry out to God and murmur against Moses. So we pick up the story in verse 10, chapter 14, verse 10, 10 through 18. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army and his chariots and his horsemen. You see, here we have the children of Israel and they're stuck between a rock and a hard spot. They have nowhere to run. And they go to Moses and they're crying to Moses. And Moses gets on his knees and he starts crying out to God. In other words, he's praying to God to deliver him. And in verse 15, God shows up on the scene. And he says, Moses, why are you crying to me? In other words, he's saying, quit belly aching. Get up and tell the people to move forward. Point number one in getting through what you're going through is we need to move forward. You see, God told Moses to go forward. And he's telling us right here that he demands participation. I can just picture Moses looking up to heaven and say, Lord, what do you mean move forward? The sea is right in front of me. See, Moses was on his knees crying in almost unbelief. And God interrupted him and said, would you get off your knees? You're wasting time. Don't you know that Pharaoh's army is behind you? Listen, I believe in prayer. But there comes a time we need to stop praying and start believing what God's word says. God's calling us to go forward. Faith can only go one way, and that's forward. It doesn't back up. It doesn't take shortcuts. It doesn't detour. It presses on. See, many times, God will allow us to get in certain situations where there isn't anything we can do but trust Him. Maybe you're down and out and you don't know what to do. God has the answer. Someone once came up to me in my office and they said, Pastor Tom, I'm just struggling financially. I'm hurting. And so I came to church today and all I have is $10 to my name. I looked at him and I said, put it in the offering. He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, put it in the offering. When you get down to nothing, you're set yourself up for a miracle. There was a time when I was renting an apartment. There was me and two other guys. We were roommating and and we had an apartment. And the rent, I remember the rent used to be $600 a month. And so each of us would pitch in our $200. And one Friday afternoon after work, I got home. I walked into the apartment and there were some things missing. My two roommates. They decided they didn't want to serve God anymore. And they split town. And so there I was. I had my $200 for rent because rent was due the following Friday. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I just sat there. I said, well, hallelujah. Here we go. I went to church on Sunday. And I'm sitting in church on Sunday. And they're taking an offering. I pulled out my $200. I said, well, it's time to get down to nothing. I believe God for a miracle. That offering bucket came by and I dropped that $200 right in that offering. Was I excited? I didn't go hallelujah. I went, oh my Lord, here we go. I was a little scared. But I learned a long time ago that if I couldn't trust God with my money, He'll never trust me with His. Do I need to say that again? So there I was, I had nothing. So come Monday morning, I went to work. I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Maybe someone's going to give me one of those envelopes. Nobody ever came up to me. So then here comes Tuesday and Wednesday, nothing. I'm still broke. I start looking around. Maybe I'm going to find some money. I start looking around. Thursday comes, nothing. Went to church on Wednesday. I thought maybe God's going to speak to one of the brothers or sisters in the church. Nobody came up to me. And come Friday, it was time to pay my rent. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go to the landlord and tell her what happened. So I walked down to the landlord's office. And next to her office was a mailbox. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll check the mail. So I opened up the mailbox and I began to go through my mail, and there was a familiar envelope. It was one of those envelopes you get from the state. Y'all know what that envelope looks like, right? So I pull out this envelope, and I was like, what is this? I opened it up, and inside it said, Mr. Flowers, we apologize for any inconvenience that we may have brought you. But we owed you one last check. You see, my father had died when I was like 12 years old. And I used to get survivor benefit checks. And it says, we apologize. This has been 2 years since they stopped giving me these. It said, we apologize for any inconvenience. We owe you one more check. And I open up, it's a check for $800. You see, when you get down to nothing, that's when God's got to perform a miracle. The children of Israel got to the edge, and it wasn't until they got to the edge and God said, move forward. And as soon as they moved forward, the Red Sea opened up for them. That's how God works. Reminds me in the book of Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 17, 10 through 16, we hear the story of a widow with her son, and they had no food. They had no money. Her resources were tapped out. She had nothing. And along comes the prophet of God. She looks over and the prophet of God looks at her and says, bring me some water. She says, okay, that's free. I can go get that for you. She comes back and the prophet of God looks at her and says, bring me something to eat. She looks at him and she says, as the Lord liveth. I think she had an attitude when she said that. She said, you're a prophet of God. You should know better. I don't have anything. She said, as the Lord liveth, all I have is a little bit of oil and some flour, and I'm going to make a piece of cake for me and my son, and we're going to die. He says, don't worry. Just make me something to eat, and your vessel will never run dry. Now listen, this was a mom, and I'm sure her mother instincts kicked in. She'd never seen a miracle like this before. And here she was, up against the most critical time in her life. What am I going to do? And am I going to make the cake? Or am I going to give in to fear and say, no way, I got to feed my son? This was a normal lady, just like you and I, a normal person. I'm sure she had to think about it for a minute. But she pressed in her faith and believed the words of the prophet. She gave in the faith and God did a miracle. See, she got to a place where she got down to nothing. And God performed a miracle. Listen, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot on it and hang on. Because God's going to do a miracle. It's time to move over and take control over your situations that are in your life. See, I used to fight when I was a sinner. And now since I got saved, I still fight. But I know this fight, I'm going to win. Every time. See, when the enemy's after you, you need to stop crying, quit bellyaching, pick up your weapons, and start fighting. In Isaiah 59:19, the Word of God says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You know what that word standard means? It means he will raise up a whirlwind to cause his enemy to flee. You know, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 13, 17, you know, God didn't take them the easy way. It says in Exodus chapter 13 that I'm not going to take them by the way of the Philistines, which is closer or which is easier, lest they give up when the fight comes, lest they give up when the war comes. See, God wanted to make sure that they would not quit in the middle of war. God wanted to make sure that they would always need him. God spoke to me one morning and he put this thought in my head. And there I was laying in bed and this thought just kept going over and over in my head. I don't know where it came from, but I know it was God because I wouldn't have told myself that. And the devil wouldn't have told me that. This is what God told me. He said, I will never create a world around you where I am not needed. I'm going to make sure that I'm needed all the time. See, God took the children of Israel to the Red Sea. Why? Why did he take them to the Red Sea? He knew the Red Sea was there. He knew that they were going to run up against the Red Sea. Why did he take them to the Red Sea? Because he knew they'd get to a place where they needed him. Then after the Red Sea opened, he put them in an area where the water was bitter, a place called Marah. Why would he take them to a place where there was no water? Why didn't he put water there for them? Because they would need him to make the water sweet. Then he put them in a place in a wilderness where there was no food whatsoever. Why would God put them in a place like that? Because they would need him to pour manna from heaven. In a dark night, he made sure it was night. It was dark at night, so they couldn't see where they were walking. He could have put the stars out there a little bit brighter. He could have made sure the moon was really bright at night, but he didn't. He made sure it was really dark, so they would need a pillar of fire to guide them. See, God wants to make sure that he's always needed. Sometimes we see situations in our lives and we wonder why. Why is it that we're going through certain things? Maybe it's because God's wanting to make sure that you need him. One person came up to me and he says, man, they were all bummed out because their car broke down. Man, my car's broke down. I don't know what to do. I'm just so bummed out. I said, praise God you have a car to break down. Many times we have bumps in the road and we think it's the devil. Maybe it's just a you need me bumps in the road. God's just saying, you need me. You need me. You need me. Point number two in getting through what you're going through is stay out of bondage. In Exodus chapter 14 and 19 through 22, it says that the angel of God went before the camp of Israel. Who went before the camp of Israel? The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. See, God put a pillar behind them. He put a pillar behind them, and some people may say, well, he put a pillar behind them to protect them from the Egyptians. Maybe. Maybe he put that pillar behind them to keep pushing them forward so they wouldn't give up. See, it's always going to be a little bit difficult to go to unfamiliar ground. It's always going to be a little bit harder. But sometimes God's going to lead us, and other times God's going to push us. In order to live free, we need to learn how to stay out of bondage. You see, God has already set us free. We need to learn how to live free. And many times we don't know how to live free. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Why is it then that so many Christians continue to set themselves in bondage? Go back to Egypt. We always find our way back to the same rut and the same problem that God delivered us. I learned this a long time ago that I needed God's wisdom. I had to come to a place where I had to come to a place where I fired the director of the movie called My Life and let Jesus direct it. Because I was making a mess of my life, even after I got saved. And someone once told me that God saved me. He gave me a new heart, but he didn't take away my brain. And how many know it's easy to put yourself back in Egypt? I used to do this all the time. I'd put myself back in bondage and blame it on the devil. I went up to an old pastor one time and I said, Pastor, oh, Pastor, I'm just struggling so much in my finances. The devil is attacking my finances. I mean, he's on me, Pastor. He looked at me and said, bring me your bills and your checkbook. I said, hallelujah. The pastor's going to pray for my bills. He's going to cast the devil out and I'm going to be okay. So I brought him my bills and I brought him my checkbook, and he's looking at it all and he's checking it out. And he says, let me tell you something. This isn't the devil. I said, what? What do you mean? He said, the devil doesn't have to mess with you. You're doing it all by yourself. Said, the devil hasn't even started with you. He's just kicking back, watching you make a mess of your own life. I had to learn to stop giving the devil all the credit for my struggles. What I was going through was not an attack of the devil. It was a result of my own mismanagement. See, I had to stop. I had to learn to stop pitchforking my current situation and call it the devil. See, I used to do that a lot. I would pitchfork the cause of my circumstances on the devil, and I had to start taking responsibilities for my own actions. Listen, there is a difference between an attack of the enemy and a result of mismanagement. And I had to come to that conclusion in my own life that I had to take responsibilities for my actions. And thank God for grace. Hallelujah. You see, if you mismanage things in your life, you will eventually lose them. If you mismanage your marriage, your marriage will fall apart. If you mismanage your health, your body will fall apart. If you mismanage your finances will fall apart. See, if you mismanage your money, you will lose it. Hey, listen, just because it's on sale doesn't mean it's God. How many of us are in debt because of sales and buy one, get one free? I had to realize that I wasn't a good steward of what God was giving me, and I needed God's wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given unto you. I needed the wisdom of God. I found out something that, you know, we are just a result of our daily routine. If we look in the mirror and we don't like that person in the mirror, what they become, many times we're just a result of what we do daily. It's just a result of what we do daily. There was a time that I was getting tired of my daily routine. I was tired of just going through the things I was going through. I was working a dead-end job, getting laid off from this job, jumping to this job, getting laid off from that job, jumping to this job, over and over and over and over again, never quite getting through. And I realized I was just a result of what I did daily. I needed to change my daily routine if I wanted the result to change. I had to change something. So one day I grew up, now listen, I was a 10th grade high school dropout, had no direction in life. And one day I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of going around in Egypt all day, year after year after year. I need something to change in my life. I need a breakthrough in my life. And I prayed. I read my Bible. I went to church. I tithed. And yet I still was stuck in this rut over and over again. And finally, one day I asked God to give me some wisdom and open some doors for me so that I can go forward in what He wants for me. And I wasn't just going to be wishing and hoping. I was going to get up and I was going to go do something. So I went and I took my GED test. I got out of there and I thought, I finished something. I actually did this. And then I went and I got into a nursing program and I finished nursing school. Was it hard? Yes. I wasn't used to doing things that I didn't do before. It was tough ground. Did I want to quit? Every day. But I needed to change the daily routines in my life in order to set myself up for blessing. The Bible says that He will give us the opportunity to gain wealth. I was in a situation just like the children of Israel. I loved God, but nothing seemed to go right. I always felt like I was just getting knocked down. And many times we feel that way. And I needed help in my current situation. I was already a child of God, but I felt like I was in Egypt. So I began to seek God and His Word. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It wasn't by my power, because I knew I couldn't do it. It wasn't by my strength. I needed God to give me a plan. See, God has a plan for His people. God had a promised land waiting for them. Because Egypt was not God's best for them. But it wasn't going to just happen. They had to get up and they had to press in and they had to move forward. You see, the doors of opportunity will always be labeled push. They're always going to be labeled push. The children of Israel were in a daily routine. They had been serving Pharaoh's kingdom for years. And it wasn't until Moses came and said, come on, it's time to move forward. It's time for change. It's time to get up and get through what you're going through. Listen, church, it's time to get through what you're going through. It's time to get up and move forward. It's time to make changes in our lives and go forward in the blessings of what God has for us. It's time for change. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for change. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's time for change for you too. It's time. It's time. 10 years of my Christian life. I've been saved for about 22 years now. The first 10 years of my salvation, man, I struggled. You know, I saw everyone else getting blessed and being great, and I would watch them go, man, what am I doing wrong? Yeah, until I woke up and saw what God had for me. Number one is God is calling us to move forward. Number two, He is calling us to stay out of bondage. And number three, we need to envision our victory. Exodus chapter 14, 24 through 31, as we conclude here, says, now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the armies of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and He troubled the army of the Egyptians, and He took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them and against the Egyptians. Wouldn't it be nice for the devil to say, let us flee this guy. God is fighting for him. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned in full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea and after them. Not so much as one of them remained. And we jump down to verse 30. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead at the seashore. And Israel saw great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. See, the people saw the situation. And Moses told them way in the beginning, chapter 14, verse 13. He said, he spoke to them. Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish today. He's telling them to see it before it happens. He says, stand still and see it. Come on, look for it. It's right there. It's going to happen. Envision it. Moses is telling them to envision their victory. Maybe you're in a situation and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for you to move forward. It's time for you to get the victory. It's time for you to realize that you win. It's time to envision our victory. Proverbs 29:18, in the King James Version, it says, without a vision, the people will perish. In every situation we go through, God has our back in the battle, and it belongs to Him. See, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violence take it by force. We stay out of bondage with our words, by speaking words of victory, and speak the vision of our victory. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 45 through 50. Chapter 17, 45 through 50, if you want to turn there with me. It's the story of David and Goliath. Y'all heard that story? He's already getting ready to fight in the battle. He's already found out he couldn't wear Saul's armor. And he's standing before this giant. And David says to him, he said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you defiled. Listen to what he says in verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you to my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the ground, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He began to speak. Listen what David said. He said, today I will deliver you. I mean, God, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. It says, I will strike you and take your head from you. Did you notice that the Bible emphasizes more on what David said than what David did? He says, I will give the carcasses of the Philistines to the birds of the air, and God will deliver you into my hands. This is exactly how it happened. We begin to speak to our situations the words of God. You begin to say stuff like, I will get through what I'm going through. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be victorious. And speaking God's word over your current situation will bring victory into your life. It will build your faith to reach out and take the kingdom by force. Not just reading God's word, speaking God's word. You see, our words are the conduit in which the blessings come through. Our words are the conduit of God's blessings in our lives, our words. Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, those that respect and understand how it works will eat the fruit that it produces. And when we speak words of defeat and failure, we are cutting the conduit through which the blessings of God flow. Imagine with me, you're sitting at home and the Lakers championship game is on. And you got all your friends coming over and you're excited about the game. You got your cable on, everything's going good, and all of a sudden the cable goes out. You pick up the phone like I know you did. You're shouting at the guy, get over here and fix this cable. So the cable guy comes, he shows up, he's in a huff and puff, he goes in your house, he starts trying to figure out what the problem is, and he goes out in the back, he starts looking around, and he notices something. And he goes up to you and goes, hey, did you know that someone cut your cable? And you said, yeah, I did that. He said, why did you cut the cable? He goes, I don't know, but I want my cable anyways. I want to see my game. He goes, sir, I can't put cable in through your house if you cut the cable. Many times, we need to stop cutting the cable in our life. We need to begin to speak God's word instead of speaking the enemy's words. God wants to take you to the promised land. And many times we get to a place where the promises are right there. Have you ever seen? I mean, this has always been something that God showed me a long time ago. Whenever the blessings of God are just about there, and you're just about to receive the blessings of God, that's when the enemy turns up the heat. It's right around the corner, and that's when the enemy's going to fight you. He's going to hit you the hardest. But we need to hold on and don't let go. Stop giving in. Let me tell you something. We need to learn to stop giving the devil our phone number. Because he'll dial it every time. I used to hate lines at department stores. And there was this one grocery store I never liked going to because they always had lines. Always. And so I'd walk in, I'd see a line, I'd just say, forget it, I'm not going there. I'm not going in. I'd get in my car and go to the other grocery store. And every time I'd go in that store, there would be a line. And I'd, man, there's that line again. So one day I decided, you know what, I'm not going to give the devil my phone number because he knew I hated lines, so he'd make sure there was a line there every time. I said, this time I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go to the grocery store, get what I want, and I'm just going to get in the line like everybody else and just be a nice, happy Christian. So I go and get my groceries, and I keep passing by the side where the lines are, and they're just getting bigger. I can feel the heat. I can feel the heat coming off of me. I'm just going upset, and I'm going past the other side, and I go and get something else, and I walk by, and that line's getting bigger. And I go, and I'm going, oh, man. So finally, I get in line. I said, I'm just going to do it. And thank God for iPhones, man. I started checking my email. I'm in line. I'm going, okay, I'm okay. Everything's going to be fine. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to be nice. And I mean, I used to get crazy. I'd go up to the manager sometimes and say, can you open up another register? You know? before I got saved. No. So I'm in line. I've got I'm standing right there. I'm saying I'm just going to wait in line like everybody else. And I said, I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to give the devil my number. And the guy opens up a register, comes up to me and says, sir, we'll take you right over here. Because I wasn't going to give the devil my number. You see, there are times when we need to learn to receive. And there are times we need to learn to take what God has given us. Faith will not move the hand of God to do something that He's already done. I said, faith will not move the hand of God. Faith will not move God to do something that He's already done. Faith moves you to receive what He's already given you. There was a woman in the issue of blood, and I'm going to finish up real quick here. It's a woman with an issue of blood, and in Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34, and we know the story. She's got an issue of blood, and Jesus is walking through the crowds, and all of a sudden Jesus stops and says, somebody touched me. And the disciples looked at him and they said, what do you mean somebody touched you? People have been pressing on you all the time. He goes, no. Somebody touched me and they drew something from me. And this lady, she reached out, she grabbed the hem of his garment and she pulled her healing out of him. She took her promise. She didn't wait for Jesus to lay hands on her. She laid hands on him. Sometimes we need to just lay hands and get up and get what God has for us. Listen, the electric company isn't going to come and turn the switch on for you. They've already put the power in your house. You got to get up and go turn the switch on. Could you imagine if you called the electric company and said, my light's not working. Well, sir, is your electricity on? Yep. Do you have a light bulb in the lamp? Yep. Well, what's the problem? I need someone to turn the switch on. Kingdom of Heaven's that way. God's not going to just come and turn the switch on for you. He's already done His part. You need to go out and grab what belongs to you. You want a raise in your job? Release the blessing by being a giver. Here's a concept. Don't tithe what you make. Tithe what you want to make. And believe God. I've seen it happen. The Bible doesn't say pray and receive. It says believe and receive. The word believe is an action word. You got to go do it. You got to go make it happen. Today is your day of victory. It's time to get through what you're going through. We need to hold fast what God has given us. And given us and given us through His Word. And don't give up no matter what. We press into God's kingdom. We move forward from the current circumstances we are in. We learn to stay out of bondage by managing those things that God has given us and being good stewards. And we need to begin to envision the victory in our lives. So number one, we learn to move forward. Number two, we learn to stay out of bondage. And number three, envision your victory. Did you get something from God today? Amen. Hallelujah.